I'm a grateful believer in Jesus who's in recovery. I struggle with codependency and mental health issues. My name is Allison. I've spent years in therapies of all types, but only came to celebrate recovery about a year and a half ago. I've been in recovery, in some sense, for a long time, but coming to celebrate recovery and completing a step study have given me a whole new perspective on my life. Celebrate Recovery has helped me to make progress in areas where I'd been stuck for years. Before I tell you my story, I'd like to define what I mean when I use the term codependency. I think of codependency as an addiction. It is niceness carried to extremes and for the wrong reasons. It is believing that others' thoughts, feelings, and decisions are more valuable than your own. Codependency is believing you can't solve your own problems, take care of yourself, or be responsible for yourself. Codependency requires others' approval and is linked to low self-esteem. It is fueled by guilt and shame, and doesn't believe it is lovable, good enough, or deserving. Not only do other people control codependents, codependents in turn try to control others, usually needy or vulnerable people. So where did my codependency begin? At home, of course. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and raised in the suburbs of that city. I have 5 siblings. I'm the youngest girl. I always did exceptionally well at school because this is what my parents expected us to do. I was smart, responsible, and sensitive, and enjoyed pleasing my teachers. My family life was overshadowed by my dad, who I've come to believe had an undiagnosed bipolar disorder, which made him prone to fits of rage, anxiety, and depression. He made our home life difficult because of his perfectionism, negativity, and yelling. My mother, my first codependent model, stood between my dad and us kids, trying to soften his temper and mitigate his verbal abuse. My mother was and has always been a source of unconditional love in my life. She introduced me to Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I have believed in him since I was a very young child. Before I finished high school, I became pregnant. I think I was trying to fill the void of father love I didn't have at home. Our parents and the church authorities agreed that we should marry. I gave birth to a son and entered into what I now know was postpartum depression. I felt very guilty about why I had to get married, deeply sad about the hopelessness of my life, and overwhelmed by the responsibilities of adulthood with a partner who still behaved like a teenager. Despite all this, I was able to graduate from high school. We were divorced when he became physically abusive and unfaithful. I thought my life had come to a dead end at age 25, but God is good, and he had another plan. As it says in our beloved Jeremiah 29:11, he had plans for my good, to prosper me and give me hope. As a single parent, I began taking college courses and working. I even earned my Master of Arts in English, the fulfillment of a heart's desire. I eventually met and married my second husband, who I was certain would never injure and abandon me like the first one had. We were married 17 years, and I believe he has been the source of more hurt than any other person in my life. Things started well in our marriage, but over time, stresses of all kinds destroyed our foundation and eventually our relationship. After the birth of our first daughter, I developed postpartum depression again, even though I had sought help to avoid it. I was hospitalized to prevent suicide. At this time, my son was a teenager and began taking drugs, shoplifting, and failing school. My husband was let go from his job and started his own company. He worked like a workaholic. I was overwhelmed with my life and didn't know how to cope. I was in therapy and started taking prescribed antidepressant and mood-stabilizing medications. Finally, one of my practitioners realized that I was bipolar and not just depressed. This diagnosis helped focus my treatment. Bipolar is primarily a disorder of mood. Sufferers swing from periods of depression, typified by low mood, lack of energy, and a negative outlook, to elevated moods, which can be characterized by abnormal impulsivity, energy, and irritability. Interestingly, bipolar diagnoses are usually genetically linked and tied to childhood abuse and prolonged periods of stress. I'd experienced all of these. When our second daughter was born, the postpartum depression cycle repeated itself. By this time, my son had moved to Arizona to be near his grandparents. Despite the distance, I was still aware of the trouble he was getting into with drugs and the law. Eventually, he went to prison. As a stay-at-home mom, I continued to ride the roller coaster of my moods and energy levels. I remember always being tired and crying a lot, but I tried so hard to be stable, cheerful, hardworking, and a good mother and wife. It hurt deeply that my husband didn't acknowledge or support me in my struggles, and physically he just wasn't there. He began traveling a lot for his work, and my stress mounted. At this time, and probably because of the stress, I developed rheumatoid arthritis. This is not the type of arthritis caused from the wear and tear we all experience as we age. Rheumatoid arthritis is a chronic disease in which the immune system goes haywire and attacks body parts, especially joints, as if they were invading germs. It causes pain, inflammation, and fatigue. And surprise, rheumatoid arthritis can also trigger depression. During this time, I felt like my life echoed Psalm 88. Here's a portion of it from the message. I've had my fill of trouble. I've camped on the edge of hell. God, you've dropped me into a bottomless pit, sunk me in a pitch black abyss. I'm caught in a maze and I can't find my way out, blinded by tears of pain and frustration. For as long as I remember, I've been hurting. I've taken the worst you can hand out and I've had it. The only friend I have left is darkness. That dark friend urged me to run away from home, drive to the coast, and drown myself. This was my plan, but God is good, and he had a better plan. Friends and family talked me into going to stay with my sister in Seattle and to begin intensive treatment there. Eventually, I returned home and continued treatment at Providence Outpatient Behavioral Health. I began to see glimmers of light in the darkness. But my running away and suicide attempt were apparently the last straw for my husband. He withdrew himself from me in every way and showed it in his disapproval and rejection of me. He would kiss the girls when he came home from work, but ignore me. He refused to allow me to be a partner in managing our finances. He pretended to others that everything was all right at our house, that I was the one with all the problems. He didn't trust me or even like me anymore. He blamed me for having needs and for rocking the delicately balanced family canoe with my mental health issues. He treated me as an object to be manipulated or managed for his own benefit. It was many years and a lot of counseling sessions later before I understood this as abusive behavior and stopped blaming myself for everything that had gone wrong in our marriage. Of course, we tried a variety of marriage counselors, but it's been said that counseling a couple where one of the partners is an abuser won't work. This was definitely true in our case. Our counselor said my husband had no empathy, and I had too little ego strength. I only knew that I was dying inside. I felt I couldn't recover without my husband's support, and he had no support to give. My husband's behavior affected me to the point that my low self-worth bordered on self-hatred. I turned an abundance of anger and guilt inward. I withdrew from everyone and felt so alone. But God loved me, and once again, he had a plan to rescue me. When we could make no progress in counseling, we decided to separate. I left him with our daughters and went to live in an apartment by myself with no job, no money, and no hope. Once again, I was suicidal. Our divorce was finalized and my ex-husband remarried within 6 months. I felt replaced. I felt like garbage that had been kicked to the curb. After sleeping for the first 6 months, I actually began to feel my depression lift and to enjoy my new freedom. I started working for the first time since college and gained satisfaction from my work. Eventually, with money from the divorce settlement, I bought a house. At about that time, the economy went south and my department at work shrank. I was let go. I found a series of temporary minimum wage jobs, but they did not provide enough money for me to hold on to my house. Despite these struggles, I made progress with my mental health issues through counseling and took my medications as prescribed. I attended ARMS, an abuse recovery ministry. There I learned that my ex-husband's treatment of me was considered domestic abuse. His more recent attempts to prove me an unfit mother and to take my daughters away from me were another form of that abuse. I think my ex-husband viewed our divorce as a huge failure, and he went to war with me to prove he would never lose again. He was determined to win every subsequent disagreement and to punish me for surviving and moving on with my life. We could barely interact civilly, and this animosity had a negative effect on our daughters, which I regret to this day. I continually and earnestly prayed to forgive him, but I found it to be a very difficult process, especially when he was constantly reoffending me by using the girls as his pawns for control and manipulation. My heart grew bitter toward him and all men. During these years, I continued to grow in my faith as I saw God's faithfulness in my life. I had felt so much better since the divorce that I started to think all my mental and physical health issues were behind me. I continued to go to therapy and take my medications, but I think I got complacent about managing my bipolar disorder. I began to think I had bipolar light. In many ways, I was doing better than I ever had. I began to believe that I could take care of myself on my own and that I was worthy of this care, that God loved me because of who I am, not for what I could do for him. Through the loss of my house and subsequent moves from place to place, I had learned to trust God to provide for me. Even though I grieved for all the lost time with them, my girls were my delight, and I enjoyed watching them bloom into young women. I took a promotion at work and started dating a man with whom I felt a deep emotional connection. Then I hit the perfect storm of 2014. I was living alone that summer. Even my faithful dog of many years got sick and died. The man I was dating broke up with me just when I thought things were going so well. The lease on my apartment was not renewed, and I was not told why. I couldn't find another place to live for a reasonable rent. The pressures at work were mounting. My son, released from 8.5 years in prison, was beginning to act out again in damaging and illegal ways. All these losses and problems added up to a cumulative storm. When I realized too late that I was slipping down that dark slope into depression, I called for help to my professional support people, but none of them were available. I realized I did not have any other community of relationships. I was alone. One night, completely impulsively, I took all the pills I had in the house and tried to cut my wrists. I tried to die. I meant to die. But God loved me. He is good. He rescued me, and he had a better plan. When I was discharged from the hospital, my suicide attempt landed me in intensive outpatient behavioral health at Providence, and then at the Clackamas County Behavioral Health Center. It was a dark time as I fought my way back to health and mental wholeness. But Isaiah 50:10 says, "If you are walking in darkness, without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God." I leaned heavily on God during this time and found healing. A few people in my church and my family rallied around to stand with me. I began to feel confident as a new path for my life revealed itself step by step. My life wasn't over. I was learning so much about how to manage the suffering my bipolar disorder brings into my life. And just when my financial resources were running out, I was able to move into a low-income apartment and began to receive Social Security disability payments because of my physical and mental disorders. After my treatment at the health centers ended, I remembered that the friend who had recognized that I was suffering abuse in my marriage and who had invited me to the abuse recovery classes had gone on to attend Celebrate Recovery. I decided to try it myself. I felt in need of support and community, and I have found that here. I was very awkward and uncomfortable at first. It was difficult for me to share in small group, but I joined a step study and began to be vulnerable with the other women. They were open and compassionate. It was frightening, but I always felt better when I had been honest and genuine. And then we came to the fourth step. I did my best to make a fearless moral inventory of my life. Again, I ran into that old roadblock of unforgiveness for my ex-husband. But somehow, as I prayed and confessed to my sponsor, the weight lifted, the blockage dissolved, and I was able to let go of the chokehold I had on my ex-husband's neck. I stopped demanding that he pay me what he owed and that he change and somehow undo all the damage he had done to me. Let God be his judge, I prayed, not me. I forgave him, and I hope by God's grace it's final. I feel free. I still struggle with codependency as my go-to response. I still have physical and mental issues to contend with. Sometimes the temptation to dig up old bitterness comes upon me, but I'm learning to pray for my ex-husband's life to be blessed. And my son was recently released from jail again for drug use, reckless driving, and theft. I am learning to let him go lovingly into the hands of God. I am learning not to respond to him in codependent ways, but to give him the respect of believing he can be responsible for his own life, God helping him. And I have two wonderful young adult daughters who give me such joy. As a result of Celebrate Recovery, I have changed. My walk with God has grown. My relationships with others have deepened. And I feel I am living a new life of hope and even happiness. To those of you who are struggling today and to the newcomer, I would say, please don't give up now. Keep coming to meetings. Keep opening up, sharing, and working the steps. Keep surrounding yourself with all the honest, broken friends you're making at CR so you won't be alone on your journey. What looks like darkness in your life may be God pointing you in a new direction. He will shine his light on your next step. He is good, and his plans for you are good. Anything can be a miracle, a blessing, or an opportunity if you choose to see it that way. Even the most painful, wrong, and stubborn obstacles are part of the path to get you where God wants you to go, to become who you are truly meant to be, starting right now. So learn to appreciate your mistakes and setbacks as the best stepping stones to the future. Considering your trials joyfully, finding peace through your hardships will be a clear sign that you are moving in the right direction and letting in the light. God be with you.